person. Because when people come in person to empty out their wallet on the table, and we're located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon, plenty of parking. We're right on the bus line. There's even headphone-shaped bike racks out front. When people come in person, it becomes a transformational experience for them. I have met so many people. I've been here for 26 years. I'm for real. I've met so many people who came here to give a pledge, and then they stayed and looked around and literally signed up to go to a training, or they learned when the volunteer orientation is. When you're listening to us on the air right now, we are all volunteers. I'm a volunteer. Jenna's a volunteer. My friend Liam, he's running the board. He's a volunteer. Paul Roland is a volunteer, right? We have a small staff. They're incredibly dedicated staff. But that money, it's got ripples. It stays in your community. When you give us a call, 877-500-5266, your money grows legs. It supports local businesses. It supports local people. It supports our nonprofits. And you're actually literally helping make Oregon, all of our Cascadia, a better place. So 877-500-5266. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's time for Wednesday Talk Radio. Thanks to all who called.
KBOO would like to give a special thanks to our local community partner who donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Isabel's, located at 330 Northwest 10th Avenue in Portland, and serving inventive, veggie-friendly Latin Asian fusion dishes. Lunch was provided by Cannon's Rib Express, located at 5410 Northeast 33rd Avenue, an award-winning barbecue restaurant in Portland. Dinner was provided by Fire on the Mountain Brewery and Catering, with three locations in Portland. Go to portlandwings.com. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
Climate changed me when I lost my only job. Climate changed me when my mom began to sob. Climate changed me when the storm tore off the roof. Climate changed me when the sky told me the truth. Well, I always knew that I would have to change. But do I have to die to change, change, change? Climate changed you.
Climate changed you.
When the flash flood makes you scream, climate changed you.
And good morning. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. As you heard, my guest is Ken Ward, a 35-year environmental activist here in the studios to talk about climate changing us and us needing to change in response to climate change. That was such a powerful song, snippet of a beginning of a song there, Ken.
Yeah, who is that?
That was... I wish I knew the singers, but it's Reverend Billy and the Stop Shopping Choir.
Oh, Reverend Billy.
But the actual two lead singers there, I think at least one of them was in this very studio here last year, I believe. One of the many guests we've had here on Wednesday Talk Radio. Maybe some of you out there remember that and are appreciative of the guests that we bring to you on a weekly basis here. During our membership drive, which we'll be talking about, but I am talking to Ken Ward. Let me just let the guests know a little bit about you. As I said, you've been 35 years. You know, I just realized you were going to college in New England about the same time I was going to college in New England, and got into the environmental activist scene much quicker than I did. You were involved with the PIRG. That was kind of how you cut your teeth, apparently, initially. The Public Interest Research Groups. You were executive director in New Jersey. You were deputy director of Greenpeace USA, and many other things. And you most recently were arrested as one of the valve turners shutting off one of the five pipelines bringing tar sands oil into the United States. And we can talk a little bit about that. And you, even more recently, had your own climate catastrophe experience where you were evacuated because of the Eagle Creek fire.
Yeah, that was quite a surprise. I was out of my house for about 2 weeks. Fire, we don't really know how close the fire came, but to me, the most interesting thing about that, and it's similar, I think, what the experience that people are having in the Caribbean now is how very far off the experts were about the scale of the scale and speed. I was at home. We had heard from the experts that that the fire was moving west, and that it would be maybe 18 to 22 hours before it in any way threatened where we were. And then 2 hours later, we had to evacuate. It was moving that fast, and it was that surprising.
I guess there's an analogy there.
Yeah. Yes, there is an analogy there, that the speed and impact of climate change. It's not an analogy, I guess. It's the direct experience that small amounts of temperature increase are creating, are moving whole systems out of whack in ways that we haven't seen. So hurricanes, jump categories very quickly. Forest fires, wildfires in the West move faster than anyone has ever seen.
So the name of this, I named this a show, Facing Cataclysm and Fighting On Without Illusions, with my guest Ken Ward. So yes, we're facing cataclysms, but yet some of us are still fighting on. And I know you've been engaged for a long time, and you're now kind of using your extended experience to continue. Not that you're just starting this, you've been doing this for a long time, but you're kind of rethinking a whole lot of things in terms of overall strategies and approaches within the climate movement, environmental movement. And you wrote a recent piece for Alternate called Mainstream U.S. Climate Strategy Has Failed Miserably. So what now? I just want to give us a little sense before we give a little bit more of your backstory and talk more in depth about this before we go to our first break. So give us a thumbnail of what brought you to write this article and what's it about.
Well, one of the things about trying to write things is that you never get to write the headlines, so that's not too bad. But there isn't much in the So What's Now. This is mostly a my personal political feeling, which is okay. We've reached the point where we really have failed miserably everything that we tried to do, and by we I mean mainstream environmentalists, of which I was a part for many years, but also climate activists. What we've been trying to do has obviously failed, and failed miserably. And that one thing that it seems to me to be missing is that we're not spending really any time going, did we have some part in this? Do we have some responsibility for where we have ended up? Because that it's a reasonable question to ask when we're also struggling to figure out where we go from here. And I think the answer is clearly yes, we did substantially contribute to the overall political situation that we find ourselves in. And it behooves us to ask, how we ended up here and what we should be doing differently. So that was the genesis for this particular piece, I've been doing this, as you said, for a while. I did a lot of work about 10 years ago. With a small group of people, trying to argue that we needed a different strategy than the mainstream, and that didn't go anywhere. So I'm kind of returning to those same set of questions.
Yeah, I want to pick up with that. Conversations you had at that time 10 years ago, conversations you're having now. If you feel like how much you feel like people who do need to hear this. Presumably some of the leaders of these large organizations who have a lot of resources and large membership bases that could actually mobilize things in a much more significant way and contribute towards doing whatever we still can do at this point. So let's pick up on that when we come back. Right now we are in our membership drive and we are asking for your support. And it sounds like we're already getting a call, which is great. And we'd like to get more calls. Hello, Lisa.
Paul, I am here with Jenna Yokoyama, my friend and compatriot. We are excited that your guest is Ken Ward, the valve turner, right? Last year on the KBOO News, we covered those issues like a blanket. And you know what? We're not even offering a membership gift right now, because if you're listening to this show, you need to understand how important this information is. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. The valve turners, this is a crew of people. I feel like, if I'm remembering it correctly, different groups, different parts of the country, and literally went into these different oil tar sands facilities and literally turned off the heckin' oil. That, do you have any idea how much courage that takes? Did you hear about it on NPR? Because I didn't. Okay? Didn't see it in the New York Times. Maybe it was there. But you have the opportunity right here to listen to this incredible history-making activist, right? The courage that it took to do that. I bet a lot of people listening right now wish you could be in a position to literally take your hands and turn the oil off. Yeah. That's what Ken did. I mean, if I'm understanding it correctly, that's what I think happened. This is amazing. 877-500-5266. And you know, Paul Rowland is here every Wednesday, sometimes alternating with another awesome host occasionally. But you get the chance to actually pick up the phone and talk to these people directly. Paul's bringing people to you, right into your car or exactly. your bike or your living room or wherever you are, your atelier. You need to invest in that. This is the kind of thing that actually makes the world a better place. It's like a crowbar to the mind, right? Opening up minds. 877-500-5266. Come in person and you're going to be able to shake this guy's hand. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. We already talked, we got strong coffee, we got coffee creamer, whatever you want. But we need people right now to show that you care about this stuff. 877-500-5266. And hey, Jenna, let's thank the people.
We got people to thank who have called in to become a member. We have Brina in Portland who is renewing. Yay! And then we got Shane in Oregon City who is also renewing. Yay. Come join Brina and Shane in showing your support. And, you know, these two people are renewing because they continue to see the value. They continue to understand what KBOO brings to them, what interviews like the one we have going on right now bring. I mean, we live in a time where just talking about the quote-unquote environment is a controversial act. It is an act of resistance to even just mention that there might be a reason to turn a valve. So you believe in that. That's why you're listening right now. Support KBOO. Become a member today. 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266. Now let's get back to Paul.
All right. Thank you, Jenna. Thank you, Lisa. And yes, those are good reasons to support this station, because we do talk about these things that are not generally talked about. And it's important. And so we do appreciate your support. 877-500-5266. So Ken, we were talking in the hallway before coming in here. Well, we kind of share a similar analysis of this, I think. And, I've talked about on this program how, you know, when I was a grassroots direct actionist myself with Earth First, where I kind of developed this critique of the mainstream environmental movement, which I felt had co-opted the forest protection movement, you know, and achieved, I won't take away the gains that were achieved, but didn't end up having the kind of systemic critique and much more comprehensive critique that could have built something that would have led into a much stronger, broader climate justice movement. You know, I mean, there was just the beginnings of understanding among some Earth Firsters and others at the time, including our friend Patrick Mazza, who was a colleague of mine at the time, who became one of the people who talked most about climate here in the Pacific Northwest, there was a few people who were aware of that and talking about it, but it hadn't really, and never really gripped the organizationally, some of these large groups, you were involved in Greenpeace. I know, you know, Greenpeace more than a lot of the others has put its resources to bear, but in you know, it has its own crews. Of course, it's one of the few organizations that actually does, you know, direct action. All of the others are very reticent to do so because of their fears of alienating people or possibly losing their tax status or whatever. But so yeah, I there's a general failure, as you were talking about, to really come to grips systemically with what, you know, obviously has created this crisis, which is massive industrial use, massive industrialization and use of fossil fuels and the power of the fossil fuel industry. So give us some of your critiques, which you have, you know, developed since, again, you talked about 10 years ago in this most recent article. What are some of the specific critiques that you've had, the failures of the mainstream environmental movement?
Actually, I'm still listening to the phrase crowbar to the mind, which I really appreciated. And also, you know, I mean, I guess one of the things I'm interested in at the moment, I mean, I think there's been the tremendous amount of thoughtful criticism of U.S. environmentalism and what happens when we take what is, you know, what is a set of values, environmental values originally, and a, you know, a full critique of how humans live on the earth, and, you know, and reduce it down to passing a particular bill or saving a particular piece of land or a particular species. I think people are quite familiar with that. To me, a significant part of this, and I think a change in how I've been seeing how climate, there's how climate has played out politically, is that we are also organizations as well as individuals are responsive. I need to be talking closer. There we go. That we are, you know, we're not just actors. We're also responsive to what people broader or what our supporters want. Right. I mean. Partly we're in the situation we're in because there are a lot of people out there as individuals who preferred to fund organizations that said they could solve this without anybody having to do very much. I mean, the essence of a climate strategy that we've pursued for now 20 years from our mainstream organizations and supported by several large foundations has been, let's not, you know, we can solve climate without having to have a big political fight about this. We can solve this in back rooms. We can solve this with good policy. We can solve this because the oil companies, the fossil fuel companies themselves will agree that we should avert the worst. You know, we can solve this in Washington. We don't have to go to battle on the streets or even in the Midwest, let's say. And that's manifestly wrong. I mean, but
Houston,
partly,
for example.
Or Houston. But partly that's because our mainstream organizations have been responsive to what their donors, small as well as large, have wanted. And I think that the reason to raise any of these questions now is we have a lot of people, or at least more people, who are sitting around going, oh, my God, where have we ended up here? I mean, we have hurricanes and wildfires, things that we thought were going to be 100 years off, or that might be affecting our great-great-grandchildren, we're living through. It hasn't worked. What do we do? Well, one of the first things that we should do is begin thinking about who are we supporting to do what? And I think that that extends, I think it's one of the things that we don't look at in ourselves is, especially because we have a good example to look at, which is what did the right wing do that was so so very effective? How did a very small minority of the nation with some money, you know, take our whole country? And in fact, for those of us who consider ourselves, who believe in Christianity, they also took our major religion. How did they do that? Well, one of the things that they focused on was power, whereas we focus on liberals tend to focus on policy. So they spent a lot of time and attention and money building up. I mean, we have KBOO. I love KBOO. I want everybody to support KBOO, but they have Fox News. And, you know, those, that kind of an imbalance is partly where we led to. Now, I don't want to let our mainstream organizations off the hook. Yes, we made a very conscious decision 20 years ago now to downplay the impact of climate change, to propose that we can solve it and to make common cause with fossil fuel companies. And that was idiocy then, and now we're seeing the result of that.
Indeed. And on that note, speaking of, we've got KBOO and they've got Fox News, which, you know, we actually had Air America there for a while, and we let that slip away. You know, that was I liked Air America. I thought that was actually a really, really interesting and a positive contribution. But that slipped away too. But we still have KBOO, and KBOO is here, and we plan to be here for the duration. And to do that, we need your support.
Hey, and this is the Fabulous Fall Membership Drive. We're just over here again. We're just marveling about the valve turners. This is one of the most important, I'm just putting this out, my personal opinion. This was one of the most courageous and important actions. And if I'm remembering it correctly, it was hand in hand with the No Doppel organizing in the Dakotas as well. And it wasn't, I don't think it was all organized together, but all these things happened and rolled out at about the same time. Ken Ward, it is an incredible honor to have you here. And I'm just going to say, when was the last time you heard a one-hour special about climate change and what people directly are doing about it? Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that if you did hear one before, it was on these airwaves, 877-500-5266, one of the most compelling, some people say the most compelling issue of our times. And that's what we bring. That's what we have on the table. And we're convening real conversations about this that you are part of. And that's why we're asking you to invest. 877-500-5266. I think we have someone to thank.
We do. We have Ruth in Beaverton who is renewing their membership. Thank you very much, Ruth. Join Ruth by becoming a member of KBOO today. Give us a call at 877-500-5266, or you can go online to our website to kboo.fm. There's a beautiful little button at the top that says donate. You just click on it. Only takes a couple minutes to become a member today. And you know, we like to say, hey, why don't you know, if you are lucky enough to be paid minimum wage here in this city, you know, around like $10 an hour or so, then maybe you can consider giving $10 a month. And you know, showing your support for what you believe in, what you want to be hearing as a part of your community. You know, we call this community radio, and it just so much shows what we value here in Portland, which is actually to talk about the things that matter to us. Like the environment. We all see the change. We all know what's happening. And our dear administration up there in the White House might think otherwise. But
Jenna, even the sky has been orange. I know. It's freaking everybody out.
I know. And so, you know, because here in Portland, since we can't ignore it, we are here to talk about it. And you value that. You value that discussion and wanting to be part of it. So give us a call, 877-500-5266. Again, that's 877-500-5266.
Hey, and I just want to be crystal clear. Well, I'm Lisa. I'm here with Jenna. You've been listening to us talk. We are really, we're sending you an engraved invitation to invest in this radio station, this community radio station. And just to be crystal clear, Paul's guest this morning, he and fellow activists last October in Minnesota, Montana, and North Dakota shut down pipelines carrying tar sands oil into the United States. And Ward, of course, was in Washington State, Ken Ward. So these people actually really stuck their necks out. They did it at a time when the whole world was watching the United States and what we were doing with this tar sands oil. And anyone who has lived through the summer, this past summer in I'm just going to say Oregon, and saw these wildfires, these wild stuff happening, like we couldn't even breathe the air before mm-hmm. we saw it first for weeks, right? It was orange.
Oh, I'm not even hotter than it's ever been. Mm-hmm.
107 degrees. This is what Ken's entire activism is about. Paul Rowland has a piece of that too. Paul Rowland, Wednesday Talk Radio, he's always bringing these radical guests, and you're really literally not going to hear these guests anywhere else. And that's why we're asking you to go grab your phone and tap in 877-500-5266. Join Ruth, the spiritual warrior. Ruth, we love you. Please invest now. Also remember that if you become a member now, today's drawing is for Creative Body Art. You'll win a $200 gift certificate from Skeleton Key Tattoo in Portland. We're offering a new prize every day of the drive, but you have to call 877-500-5266 to be entered for the chance to win. You could also, you know, go to our website, kboo.fm, and do it there. super strongly, mega strongly want to encourage people to come in person today. We love you. We're real people in this building. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon. We got strong coffee. We've got some breakfast food. We want to meet you in person, mm-hmm. okay? You might already be a member. You know why this is important. Your ears are glued to this show. And come and just empty out your wallet on the table. We can give you a gift. We cannot give you a gift. But the most important thing right now is that you appreciate what Paul Rowland is bringing to these airwaves mm-hmm. and invest in that programming.
Remember that Paul is a volunteer, Lisa's a volunteer, I'm a volunteer, Liam's a volunteer, everyone here that's helping Wednesday Talk Radio be on the air is a volunteer. And, you know, KBOO, if that's what they're here for. They're here to support people who want to bring you these types of guests, who want to bring this type of message, bring it to you, because we understand, you know, a lot of other radio stations say they try to steer away from what may not be the popular conversation.
Such and here as at climate
KBOO,
change.
Yeah, here at KBOO they say, what can we do? How can we enable you to bring this type of programming to the air? You're a volunteer. We'll give you those tools. So if you support that, you do support that, you're listening right now, help us continue to bring those types of interviews and bring this type of quality programming to the air. 877-500-5266.
And we're back. I'm Paul Rowland, host of Wednesday Talk Radio here on KBOO, and I'm here with Ken Ward, who you were hearing Lisa talk extensively about. And I know we've got a caller, Chris. Let's just hold on a second, Chris. I want to give Ken a chance to update us. I think he was on last before he actually went to trial on those charges for that action. So, Ken, whatever happened with that?
Yeah, well, real quickly, in my case, I've now been to trial twice. The first time with several charges for the action, my action in Washington, and in that case last January, I had a hung jury, so the jury was unable to convict me. I went back to trial again in June, and in that case, we had a hung jury on the more serious charge of sabotage, and I was convicted on the charge of burglary. The judge.
What did they accuse you of burgling?
You know, it's a little tricky because to actually be convicted of burglary, you have to have an intent to break a law. And since the only thing, other thing I was charged with was sabotage, it didn't actually make, and I was not convicted of that. It didn't really exactly make sense. But in any event, the judge gave me 32 days, of which two I had already served, and allowed me to do the other 30 days in community service. So I've been working with Habitat for Humanity in Mount Vernon, building houses. I'm most of the way done with that.
Which is pretty much in alignment with your values.
That's great. So, it's like we anticipated perhaps being in jail for a while, so I'm very happy to be building houses. All of my friends who took part in the actions in the other states yet still have trials upcoming. The first one is Michael Foster, who shut the valve in North Dakota, and he goes to trial in the first week of October in Pembina County. And we have other trials in November, and then the third one in Minnesota hasn't been set yet. So, so we're you know, working hard to support them as they go to trial.
But basically, to give people a clear picture, so we're talking about like fenced in areas of like 15 to 20 feet square, or something like that, or
yeah, it varies.
There.
But basically, there's places where these large tar sands pipelines coming down from Canada, coming into the U.S., have what are called manual safety block valves, and they're wheels that that one can turn in the event of there being a catastrophe, you know, an upcoming disaster, which is what we think climate change is. So we thought it was very appropriate to use those devices to shut them down. We shut down all five pipelines carrying tar sands oil from Canada into the U.S. One morning last October. That's what we're, and all of us are asking the courts to give us an opportunity to offer what's called a necessity defense, where we can argue that our action was appropriate given the state of the of a global catastrophe that we're facing.
That's kind of the holy grail of activist defense. Of course, we some of us tried to use that back in the days of major forest activism. Of course, there's still forest activism going on. In fact, I think there's an active tree sit down near Eugene, which I'll try to feature on my show at some point here. But yeah, you know, the idea is that you break a lesser law in order to prevent a greater harm something like that is the necessity. Like the classic one is breaking a window of a house to get in to save somebody or something like that, I think. So we got a caller before we go on and talk a little bit more about this article that we're discussing that Ken Ward wrote recently for Alternet. Let's go to Chris. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. First of all, Ken Ward, it's just an honor to hear you. And I just want to say thank you for being on the front lines and putting your body, your life, your time, your energy on the line for all of us. I just want to say thank you personally.
Thank you, Chris.
We're a little bit away from the relevance of my question, but you were talking before the last break about this idea of the co-optation of the environmental movement. And I had read this book by Arundhati Roy called Capitalism, A Ghost Story. And one of the really compelling parts of that book for me was when she discussed this whole idea of philanthropy and foundations that actually fund so much of what we think of as activism and as kind of being proactive about the issues and problems that we face, and how really that's, if it wasn't in the first place, a mechanism for the wealthiest individuals to maintain and control what is actually acceptable as activism and what's an acceptable response to the system that they've set up to benefit themselves. And so I was wondering if you had any personal knowledge or if you could speak to that particular issue and how that might have played a role in terms of kind of the narrowing of what was acceptable in terms of approaches and campaigns for the larger mainstream environmental movement. And I'll take my question off the air again. Thank you. And thank you, KBOO, for doing what you do.
Thanks. That's a great question. I haven't actually read that book, and I'll go search it out. Yes, I'll give you an example. When I was serving as the executive director of New Jersey PIRG, we were one of the larger state organizations working on energy policy at the state level, and I also happened to be the chair of the state PIRG's National Committee on Energy Policy. I was invited along with, I think, about 50 other people to San Francisco for a gathering and a training that was organized by the Energy Foundation and NRDC. And the purpose of that training was to have us activists go back to our states and to support a effort, this is in the mid to late 90s, to support an effort that was being spearheaded by Enron and with the support of NRDC and the Energy Foundation to deregulate state utilities. At this meeting, I and a few others stood up and said, well, wait a minute, why would we want to deregulate our state utilities? It's a bad idea for consumers. And looking down the into the longer run, when we're trying to figure out how we're going to manage something like climate change, if anything, don't we want to, you know, nationalize our utilities? we need more control, not less. The Energy Foundation folks said, if you want to ever get a grant from the Energy Foundation, you will need to support the deregulation of state utilities. Now, they saw it as in their interest, essentially they saw it as inevitable that state utilities would be deregulated and that they had negotiated renewable set-asides. So like we're going to give up the whole control of utilities, which we desperately need in order for this one small piece of renewables. So yes, that happens all the time. It is, and I don't think it's. I don't think it's always conscious. I mean, I certainly know individuals who have, you know, quite radical personal political perspectives who are in jobs and are operating as, you know, apparatchiks inside foundations and inside our major organizations that simply see this as inevitable. That's almost more distressing than if they were bought, I think. But yeah, I think this is a key factor in how this has played out.
Well, that was, I don't know, 15 or 20 years ago. Well, where are groups like the Energy Foundation and Natural Resource Defense Council now?
You know, for one thing, I don't have any contact with anybody there anymore, so I'm a little bit out of tune. But I would imagine that most people are sitting around going, having no idea what to do. I mean, you know, I mean, in essence, we won. I mean, cap and trade is the single policy solution that's really out there. Sure, people are arguing for a carbon tax, but that, I mean, it's essentially a policy solution to a political problem and a problem of values. And I think that we probably have a lot of people sitting around going, I don't really know. I mean, we lost. It didn't work. And I don't have any idea of what to do next. That's why it seems appropriate to me that now is a time when we're facing such a catastrophic loss that it's appropriate for us to go, well, okay, how did we get here? What else might we be doing now? And the point of my article here really is that the first step of that is that we have no independent voices who are trying to offer at any kind of strategic level what might we do differently. We have a lot of people doing a lot of work, but virtually all of us are doing it without resources, and virtually all of us are doing it in response to the other side. We are trying to stop pipelines, stop, you know, a variety of pieces of infrastructure, and that is critical, and especially if you live there, you don't have a choice. You have to try to stop that thing. But there's no resources to go into any kind of more thoughtful level of what would be the best way to manage the catastrophe that we're in. And I think that's what we need to start supporting. We need to have some resources and some conversation quickly. But I think we have some answers. But I think that most of us are just struggling to make a living.
So you say you've been kind of out of that more larger organizational institutional milieu for a while, but you know, do you know of people, you know, like yourself, like you were then, that are within those organizations? Are you having conversations with them?
No, frankly, you know, I mean, I worked inside major organizations for 20 some odd years, but I've been out for some odd 20 some odd years, and I know a lot of people who I hired and trained many of them who are in leadership positions, but it's been increasingly hard to have, because we're just coming at it from some such utterly different perspectives, and as I said, I'm struggling to make a living, as most people are, and to do our activism in the midst of it, and that pretty much takes up my time, so... Actually, I think that now might be an appropriate time to try to start having more of such conversations. But at the moment, it's basically just hi on Facebook.
Well, with that, we do have another caller who's been waiting patiently. Camillo, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Hello, Paul. Hello, Ken. My question follows up on this discussion about the national environmental organizations and how the activist roles have been taken over by local and primarily indigenous groups in direct action. And following the concept of just transitions, I'm working with 350 PDX going around to community organizations discussing the initiative. And I find that very few people are aware of what just transitions is all about. So could you spend some time speaking about that conceptually? And Naomi Klein does that in her book, This Changes Everything, and points out how they are really taking the lead now.
Camille, thanks for your calling in, and good to hear from you.
Yes.
I was just at the 350 PDX general meeting this week, and it's a great organization, and I think that the Just Transition is a central part of an alternative strategy that we are advancing in bits and pieces, and folks like you are leaders on. I mean, the key thing that's occurred over the last year that's changed things on the ground for climate action is Standing Rock and the anti-DAPL fight, and the central role that the Standing Rock Sioux and other indigenous folks took in asserting both native rights on the land, but also in a broader sense, fighting, you know, the black snake, the role, especially in the central part of our country, that the fossil fuel country are taking. So that, as we've watched post Standing Rock, and although that fight lost, and by the way, I don't think we should be too distressed about losing, because, you know, we are losing. The question is, how do you continue a fight on the right things in a situation where things will increasingly get worse. You know, what we're offering here is, or trying to offer here with very little resources, is a thoughtful and clear alternative to business as usual. And that's business as usual, both in the fossil fuel country, but also in, you know, our liberal organizations. And part of that is, in fact, the concept of a just transition, which is to take into account what is the alternative future that we need, who gets harmed first now, and how do we manage a transition that simultaneously staves off the worst of cataclysm, but also does so in a way that the people who have gotten the least benefit and have experienced the most harm are the first to gain the benefits of that transition. That's what Just Transition's about.
Thank you very much.
All right, and thank you, Camilo. And I know we've got another caller, Patrick. If you could hold on a few minutes, or if you want to call back during our membership break, because we are in our membership drive here, our fall membership drive here at KBOO Community Radio, and we would really appreciate hearing from you at the number 877-500-5266. You know, I've been talking about the issue of climate and climate justice, climate activism with local and national activists, with cutting-edge journalists like Robert Hunsaker, with climate scientists, with all kinds of people, and I've covered lots of different issues. I've had people like Chris Hedges on. I've had people like Ralph Nader on. I've covered issue of police unions. I've got a monthly co-host talking about these important indigenous issues like the No DAPL fight. If you appreciate that kind of programming, specifically here on Wednesday Talk Radio, but more in general, our morning news and public affairs and all our programming, please give us a call at 877-500-5266.
That's right. And if you become a member today, don't forget you get entered into that daily drawing. Today's drawing is for Creative Body Art. You'll win a $200 gift certificate from Skeleton Key Tattoo in Portland. We're offering a new prize every day of the drive. So give us a call. Become a member today at 877-500-5266 now to be entered for a chance to win. Go to kboo.fm for rules and restrictions. Again, I can give that number one more time. 877-500-5266. I'm joined here with Lisa. Lisa, how you doing?
You know, I'm doing well, and I'm kind of odd that I am in a building with Ken Ward. I mean, again, Paul Rowland's guest today is one of the valve turners. And this is, to me, this is one of the most important actions that we've seen in the modern times. It's right there with Standing Rock. These people literally put their lives on the line. Ken, I mean, you don't have to respond to me right now, but I mean, you could have been killed doing that. All y'all could have been killed doing that. It's what I would have assumed. So Ken and amazing crew of people literally went to the valves in, what, four different parts of the United States and actually busted in to where those tar sand valves were that are controlling the oil flow and actually used their hands to turn them off. And when it came time to have the court case, basically they're looking at whether it was justified or not. So not only did they do this action, but they're shifting the debate about it. And even, you know, Ken's, the judge in that case basically kind of said, yeah, I think that it's possible that this is totally justified. So seriously, we need people to call. You need to come in person. We need to support this programming. Mm-hmm. This is really important stuff. 877-500-5266. Please come in person. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. We need another $780 to meet our goal at the top of this hour. So I'm just putting it to you. If you visualize actually making the world a better place, this is where you need to come and mm-hmm. invest your money. So it's time to go back to Paul and Ken, but please call 877-500-5266.
Yeah, especially if you're a regular listener of Wednesday Talk Radio and Talk Radio in general, and you haven't yet supported. If you've never become a member, we really want you to call right now. You know, if you benefit from if you depend on this for information, for just getting in more inspired, just learning about what the heck's going on, this is your time to support us in continuing to do this work. With that?
Yeah, yeah, $780. Come on, folks. That's like nothing.
Yeah, for all the hundreds of people listening, maybe even thousands of people listening right now, everybody call in and contribute $5, $10, $20, $100. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Please do it.
I will say this is, in fact, one of the very few places in America that would devote an hour to this central question. So, yeah, we should support, absolutely support.
On that note, I think we still have Patrick patiently waiting. Go ahead. You're on the air. Hello, Patrick. Are you with us? I guess we lost Patrick. Well, call back if you would like to. So maybe he just stepped away for a second. If you want to call back. So yeah, facing cataclysm and fighting on without illusions. We haven't really talked maybe enough about without illusions. We've certainly talked about facing cataclysm. I mean, it's just astounding what's going on. Just think about it. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to absorb this stuff. It's hard to listen to the news, to watch images of the flooding of Houston, the flooding of these thousands and thousands and thousands of houses, like hundreds of thousands of automobiles destroyed. The toxic sites flooded with that stuff going everywhere. That fire in that plastics factory, the Hurricane Irma destroying just vast amounts of streets and buildings and people's lives. People having to, you know, you want to say start over. Some people can't even start over. How do you start over if you're, you know, poor and struggling to begin with, and then your home gets flooded, and you don't have a lot of resources to, you know, how much does it cost to rebuild, to tear out your house and rebuild? It's mind-boggling. How many hits can individual people take? But how many hits can a city take or a nation take? It just boggles the mind. It's madness. We should have gotten real, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, but now is now. And let's talk to Patrick, who's back online. Go ahead. You're on the air. Patrick?
Paul, this is Patrick Mazza. So,
hey, Patrick.
Glad to hear this conversation today. Glad you're back in your house, Ken. So we've been fighting this climate thing for quite a while, and like you said, you know, it's been a failure. The only thing I can see, you know, that will, I mean, it, the only scenario that looks like it can, you know, it can actually turn around the situation is a huge mobilization to really, you know, pretty dramatically and radically transform our energy use and our land use. That has to get cooking by the 2020s, you know, and in a big way, or else, you know, we'll be just completely. I mean, if we're not over the line now, we will be by then. So we will be if we don't do anything. So I don't know. I mean, and yet it, you know, it seems really far away. We should be having a Pearl Harbor moment over all these storms, but we aren't. I know you, Ken, you've been talking about this kind of mobilization scenario for a long time. And I mean, what do you think of that? Is that what we should be focusing on? Is that going to be enough?
Well, here's something we proposed 10 years ago. What we've been trying to do for 10 years is to pass pieces of legislation that kind of deal with climate change in invisible ways, with, you know, cap and trade, which has to do with setting up complicated markets that are out of view, or even carbon taxes, which are small amounts of money, but none of which gets to actually anything concrete that's easy to understand. So 10 years ago, we said, well, what would be something that would be concrete and visible? And we said, well, first of all, we should think about this in terms of what are the things that we would be advancing now that don't necessarily make sense in a precursor time, but would make total sense when the impacts begin to hit. And we actually used as the example of that. What will it? What would the political situation be like when two or three Category 5 hurricanes go through Miami? That was the scenario that we happen to think that was 50 or 100 years off, but nonetheless, that's the thing that made sense. So he said, well, we should be proposing things like, for example, why don't we do an initiative or a series of initiatives in Florida that says we need to tax fossil fuel interests to create an infrastructure fund to prepare our state for this future and to hold people accountable for making decisions now to continue to burn fossil fuels. Well, that kind of an initiative, state initiative, would have lost 10 years ago. But if we were the ones advancing something like that, then right now we would be the ones who would be proved correct and be the ones who have a concrete thing to advance. So yeah, I think there's lots of room for us to do things that straddle the boundaries between further off catastrophe and current political, the bounds of current of politics.
Yeah, and people have been, ever since I've been active, you know, and more aware of the climate movement, fighting climate change, people have been talking, it's going to take a disaster. It's going to take a series of disasters. Well, you were actually more foresighted than many people. You actually had a coherent, strategic way of looking at when the eventuality is here. And the question is, are those people that you are reaching out to, are they really taking this into consideration, which is the conversation we're having in the basis for this article, mainstream U.S. climate strategy has failed miserably, so what now? And we are here now during our membership drive, and we are coming to you several times a year. That's the model for a community radio. Community radio is based upon the community and community support. And it's a tried and true model, but the model only continues to function is if people continue to support the station and either become members or just give whatever one-time donation. But we are looking for sustained donors, people who are willing to make that year, a monthly contribution of whatever amount, $10, $20, $30. And the number to call is 877-500-5266.
Hey, you are listening to KBOO, the mighty 90.7, 91.9 FM in Hood River and 104.3 FM in Corvallis, Albany. I'm Lisa Loving. I'm here with my friend and compatriot, Jenna Yokoyama.
Good morning.
Good morning. And this is what we're asking you this morning. We want you to keep it raining. Keep it raining over here at KBOO. Give us a call and invest in this incredible programming, 877-500-5266. This, again, and you heard, we are here with Ken Ward. This guy actually is one of the people that busted into the tar sands relay stations with the oil pipelines and actually turned the valves off. A handful of crews stretching across the country where there were tar sands, valves. This happened last October. And basically, you see someone who's active like that. You see someone who does something incredible. And it's inspiring. And this is what Paul Roland serves every Wednesday morning. Mm-hmm. That's what we're asking you to back us up on. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Become a member now and be entered to win a prize. Today's drawing is for Creative Body Art. You'll win a $200 gift certificate from Skeleton Key Tattoo in Portland. I'm putting it out. You should get a tattoo of somebody turning off a tar sands oil valve.
Ooh.
I'm saying that, but you have to call us, 877-500-5266.
And you know, one thing really that just stuck out to me, Paul, was when you just talked about community, how this is community radio. And something, we need to point out here about your interview today here with Ken Ward is that, this is about grassroots activism. This is about representing what we have here in Oregon. That's what KBOO is here to show you is, who is in our community? What is the message that's coming out? What are our values from our community? And here in Portland, we all love to gripe, oh, blah, blah, blah. But, we actually have a really, really thriving activist scene here. And Ken Ward is one of these people, He's someone he's from here. He's our people. And so, that's what you want to hear. You want to hear who do we have? What is happening here in your local community? 877 500 877-500-5266. Again, write that down with me. 877-500-5266. Maybe you're anti-phone. You're like, you know what? No, I like the website thing. Or I like my my app, my KBOO app.
KBOO,
you
can go on awesome.
Both those places at kbo.fm or on the app, and you just click on the donate button. It only takes a couple minutes to become a member. We have people here at our phones waiting to renew your membership, make you a new member, because if you're listening, this is what you believe in. You believe in this type of programming. You believe in local. You believe in community. So give us a call, 877-500-5266. Continue to show your support of Grassroots Radio.
I just want to say this one last thing really quick, and then we need to go back and close out this interview that Paul Rowland has got going on with Ken Ward. But this is the kind of programming that's about what you can do to change the world. You. It's not about anybody but you.
Mm-hmm.
We bring analysis, events you can go to and participate in, actions you can take, and that's what we're talking about right now. We're talking about investing this outlet that helps you get active in changing the world. 877-500-5266. Thanks to Russell in Happy Valley. Woo! Okay, and now back to Paul and Ken.
And we're back. And this is Wednesday Talk Radio. This is I'm Paul Rowland, the host for the past several years here, coming at you with people like Ken Ward, people who are, out there putting their heart and life and soul and body on the line to do whatever they can, and they're looking for more people to get involved. It's hard. You know, he's been saying he himself is struggling, you know, to make ends meet and to keep body and soul together, to keep doing, to keep living this, his passion, which is this kind of social environmental change work. But we need to, just like we need to spread around the support, the financial support for KBOO to make this work. That's what, you know, a lot of people giving relatively small contributions. We don't disdain larger contributions. In fact, we would love it if you have the ability to give more. We think you perhaps should consider giving more. But, you know, like the Bernie Sanders model, give $20, $30, $40, $50 a piece, and you can actually make something happen that wasn't happening before. So, yeah, talk about, you know, that's a thing that possibly isn't talked about enough. You know, the reason why a lot of these big mainstream environmental organizations do tend to have sort of a monopoly to some extent on decision making and sort of control of the agenda is because they have so much more resources and visibility. So how do we raise the visibility? You know, that, you know, when groups like Earth First, movements like Earth First come, sometimes it's just the fact that they're doing something different and they have some sort of a groundswell that creates a kind of its own momentum.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the reasons to engage in climate direct action, as Earth First did, as Greenpeace has done historically, less so now, as we did with valve turners. It's one of the few, avenues available to us where we can create. I mean, we talk about it in terms of creating points of moral conflict. It is one of the few things that can both confound and trouble our opponents or our enemies. It invigorates ourselves, those of us who are doing it, those of us who support it. It also, in a concrete way, is one of the few ways that we can aggregate resources. I mean, to go out there to try to, you know, raise individual contributions for like a policy idea is much, much more difficult than simply to ask people to support us in our trial support, for example. So I also think that there's a moral argument for those of us who are who have gained the most from the society as it is. So those of us who are white, those of us who are middle class or upper middle class, those of us who are educated, those of us who are old. And in other words, those of us who've gained the most from burning fossil fuels are also the ones who have the most responsibility to go out and put ourselves on the line. That's why, that's when you look at who the valve turners are, we're older white people, and we did this consciously. It's about the most effective way that those of us who don't have resources can both be effective and also communicate and do it in a hopeful way.
Well, you mentioned 350 PDX is one group. There's other local groups. What group would you like to perhaps associate yourself with in order to get people in touch with you? Is there any particular group you're working with?
Well, we created the Shut It Down, and shutitdown.org is our web address. Under the name of Climate Direct Action, we did this last action, and we're right now we're focused on supporting everyone through trial and through jail if they end up in that case. But we are starting the process for what we want to do beyond that, and we'll be talking about that shortly.
So that's shutitdown.org. We have to wrap it up here. In the break, I talked to Ken, and he agreed to be a occasional co-host with me on KBOO. Hopefully that will come to fruition. So that's something to look forward to. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. And I look forward to coming back.
All right. Stay tuned to more programming and support KBOO.
KBOO would like to give a special thanks to our local community partner who donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Isabel's, located at 330 Northwest 10th Avenue in Portland, and serving inventive, veggie-friendly Latin Asian fusion dishes. Lunch was provided by Cannon's Rib Express, located at 5410 Northeast 33rd Avenue, an award-winning barbecue restaurant in Portland. Dinner was provided by Fire on the Mountain Brewery and Catering with three locations in Portland. Go to portlandwings.com. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Thirsty City on Thursday, September 28th at The Know in Portland. Thirsty City is a monthly showcase that features hip-hop artists from the PNW. To kick the series off, this month's show is featuring Akira Gautama, Alex Meltzer, Crockett King, Billy Soul, and Ugly Bootleg. Again, that's Thirsty City on Thursday, September 28th at 8:30 p.m. at The Know, 3728 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at KBOO.com.